Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I want to talk about, I guess you could say, health myth-busting. These are a few topics that I have heard a lot about, and I like some of like the new age healthy things. I haven't quite bought like an aura cleaning crystal yet or a salt crystal lamp, but I will say I like reading up on some of the healthy trends. You know, I mean, I'm not just talking about like vegan and vegetarian. I'm reading about, you know, like vinegar and like what apple cider vinegar can do. And a lot of lifestyle bloggers are really in on like doing cleanses and juice cleanses. And some of the topic that we're going to be starting out talking about, which is vinegar, is often mentioned in these type of things. And I have been told a lot about the health benefits of these two items that we're going to be talking about today. And I just wanted to look in, see if they were true, see if they're real, just so that all the listeners out there can know if they are just myths that have been spread around the social media cycle, or if they're real and if they're actual things that you should be doing and following to stay healthy. So the two topics are vinegar and tea. Now, vinegar, I'm sure you've heard about, you know, for cooking. There's different kinds of vinegar, like white vinegar, rice vinegar, apple cider vinegar, balsamic vinegar. They have many different purposes in the culinary world. White vinegar can also be used as a great cleanser, like just to like clean your kitchen, or like if you mix vinegar with baking soda, it can be a great way to like kind of like scrub and get rid of stains on your stovetop or get rid of odors, things like that. But I have heard a lot about apple cider vinegar and about what it can do for your health. So I wanted to look in specifically to that. So we'll be looking at apple cider vinegar. It's what I've heard the most hoopla about. And I have heard about using apple cider vinegar for so many different things. I've heard about it as someone's like touted as a digestive aid, a way to cleanse your body, as I mentioned earlier, often put into juices to do a juice cleanse. I know people put it in their hair like as a rinse to get rid of dandruff and like other like gunk that gets left in your hair from shampoo and things like that. I've also heard about people using it as a natural toner for your skin, kind of like after you cleanse, you just kind of put it on a cotton ball and dab it onto your skin as a way to cleanse your skin. I have heard about all of these things, and I am not really sure how true they are. So I wanted to look into it, and I brought for all of you guys some information about it and maybe some myth busting about the things that people say apple cider vinegar can do and what it actually can or cannot do. So most of my sources for this particular topic come from the University of Chicago. They had some great resources about it, and they talked about some great studies as well, which I was really excited to learn about. So, as I mentioned before, we're talking about apple cider vinegar. So this does not include like white vinegar, things like that. And specifically, in general, all vinegars come from the French phrase vinaigre, which I'm sure I'm saying wrong. But basically, that means sour wine. So the sourness that you find in vinegar, like even if you just taste a little bit or you can smell it, even just opening a bottle of vinegar, that comes from acetic acid. And making apple cider vinegar entails taking advantage of like controlled spoilage, kind of like fermenting, like in beer or even in like yogurt. Like yogurt has cultures, but using like beer that have yeast in there, it's controlling how things spoil and how and what can grow and what can't grow in, you know, whatever it is you're working with, like beer or vinegar. So yeast digests the sugars that is found in apples and converts them into alcohol. A bacteria, which is acetobacter, sounds like a strange name for that bacteria, but this turns the alcohol into acetic acid. And not to get too technical, but you can call this process essentially fermentation. The mother is what is referred to as a combination of yeast and bacteria, and that is the mother is formed during fermentation. So if you look at apple cider vinegar, like if you just look in the bottle, you can sometimes see strands of the mother floating around. And if you know anything about like kombucha, there's like a mother in kombucha, which is kind of the same thing, just a combination of bacteria and yeast. And many people can attribute apple cider vinegar's effects to the mother. And there is some truth to that, since the mother does count as a probiotic. And probiotic are like the things that are found in yogurt often and are what people say are good for your gut. And they help with digestion and things like that. But the importance of the mother is not really been established with research, aside from like the probiotics. So aside from the probiotics, apple cider vinegar has a vitamin profile that is really just similar to apple juice. So the drink, like if you're drinking apple cider vinegar, it has a lot of B vitamins and polyphenols. Polyphenols are plant-based antioxidants. And the probiotics, acetic acid, and all the nutrients in apple cider vinegar are responsible for its health benefits. So if you just want to know some of the things that are in apple cider vinegar, it has vitamins, like I said, B vitamins. And these, as I said before, are because apple cider vinegar has similar vitamin profile to just apple juice, which apple juice itself does just have B vitamins. Polyphenols, which again is a plant-based antioxidant, and probiotics. The probiotics come from the mother, which is yeast and bacteria. Also, if you're interested in about making vinegar, like sometimes if you just look it up, you will see people have these giant like mothers, and like in kombucha, it's called like the SCOBY. And it just looks like this big, I don't know how to describe it. It's like sort of this mass of like, it looks kind of like goopy, but it has a little bit of structure to it. It's a little strange, but that is what causes the probiotics. And you have that when you're making vinegar. So those are just some general things about apple cider vinegar, which I think are pretty interesting. Moving on to some of the myth busting related to this vinegar. So people have said that apple cider vinegar can help with blood sugar control. And it's not a secret that diabetes is really common in the US, and apple cider vinegar can be a reasonable, like, it, can it be a reasonable weapon to fight against diabetes? A lot of people think that it can be. These are just some of the myths that I've heard, like, on the internet, things like that. So, according to some studies, apple cider vinegar can be a way to fight diabetes. So, one example is a small study, which was published in the Journal of the American Association of Diabetes in 2004, and this particular study entailed giving participants a meal composed of a bagel, orange juice, and butter. After the meal, the participants received 20 grams of apple cider vinegar, or a placebo. So they would like drink the little 20 grams of the vinegar, or they would just get something else, you know, a placebo. It could be like juice or just something else that they thought was the apple cider vinegar. The researchers checked blood glucose levels 30 and 60 minutes after the meal from all the participants. And the researchers found that the apple cider vinegar did significantly lower post-meal blood glucose levels. And several other studies have found similar findings. So I think that's pretty interesting. I have heard a little bit about this working to lower blood sugar, but I don't know. Interesting. The bottom line of this particular myth and this related to this study is like apple cider vinegar won't cure diabetes, but it may moderately lower blood glucose levels. It really shouldn't take the place of medication for diabetes, but it is safe enough to add to a diabetes treatment plan. Also, as long as you don't have kidney disease, because as I'll mention later, your kidneys might not be able to filter through all of the vinegar if you have kidney disease or something like that, or sensitive kidneys to this type of acid. Another myth is that apple cider vinegar may keep the bacteria on your salad from getting out of control. I think this relates to a lot of people make like vinaigrettes for salad dressing. And sometimes if people don't want to make a vinaigrette, or maybe they just enjoy like a more basic salad, you can just put on vinegar and oil onto your lettuce and mix it around, as opposed to like a lot of times other vinegars have like other added sugar or like, I don't know, like other mustards or something else to mix with it to get a dressing consistency. But some people do like just putting vinegar onto their salad for the taste. In 2005, a study assessed vinegar's antimicrobial properties by inoculating arugula, which is like a lettuce, with salmonella. The researchers treated the tainted arugula with either vinegar, lemon juice, or a combination of them both. And the researchers sought to see if these interventions could reduce bacterial growth. What the researchers found is that both lemon juice and vinegar decreased the growth of salmonella. So, like, if you know, lemon juice also has that acidic, sour taste similar to vinegar. So I could see how lemon would be something they would connect with vinegar. Also, I do know people who just like putting lemon juice onto their salad, again, for that, like, sour taste. They also found that the lemon apple cider vinegar and lemon juice mixture decreased salmonella to undetectable levels. So in general, this is really interesting, but I would say still be careful. This is not an excuse to just eat salmonella tainted lettuce. I know that I feel like every week someone just comes out and says there's been some new like outbreak of salmonella. This is not to say you should just put vinegar and lemon juice on, you know, your tainted romaine and think that you'll be fine. Please don't do that. But as I said, like there have been a lot of outbreaks of lettuces. Putting apple cider vinegar on your salad, like it could add flavor. It could also kill bacteria. But even then, just use your common sense. Don't just, you know, if you see on the news someone says, oh, this romaine is tainted, don't just be like, oh, I'll just put vinegar on it and be fine. Please be careful. I wouldn't suggest doing that. But if you are concerned, you know, like you haven't heard anything about an outbreak, but you want to be safe, you could put some vinegar and lemon juice on your lettuce leaves just to be sure. You also might like the taste, you know, who knows? Also, before we take a quick break, I just wanted to mention a great deal that is going on. If you like listening to podcasts, it's a pretty good chance that you also enjoy listening to audiobooks, and you can listen to a whole array of audiobooks on Audible. They have books of so many different kinds. If you want to read more about scientific research into vinegar, or if you just want to read about, you know, maybe cooking or something like that, Audible is a great way to get those books in during your busy day. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. To get this, go to audible.com/GSMCHealth or text GSMCHealth to 500-500. Again, that is audible.com/GSMCHealth or text GSMCHealth to 500-500 and follow this URL and you can get some great Audible deals. I highly suggest it. We're going to go to a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about vinegar.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Yeah. Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the health topic of vinegar. We are doing some myth busting about whether apple cider vinegar, specifically apple cider vinegar, is good or not, and what are some of the benefits, and if those benefits are true. So before the break, we talked about apple cider vinegar and how it can kill bacteria, like on your lettuce leaves. A lot of people are concerned about salmonella, things like that. We are moving on to our next myth, which is that apple cider vinegar may help boost weight loss. This is the one that I have probably heard the most. As I mentioned, people put it in juices for juice cleanses. People just drink it, like they'll just take a little shot of it. And I've heard a lot about this. So as it turns out, a randomized clinical trial recently published in the Journal of Functional Food showed that apple cider vinegar might help with weight loss. So the participants in this study drank 15 milliliters of apple cider vinegar with lunch and dinner, which is a total of like 2 tablespoons, which is probably how much I have seen people suggest, like 1 tablespoon for each sitting is kind of what I've generally read online. The participants also ate a diet that was 250 calories less than their daily estimated requirements. Researchers found that apple cider vinegar significantly reduced weight. In fact, the people in the apple cider vinegar group lost an average of 8.8 pounds over 12 weeks. Reading about the study, it does sound very promising. On the other hand, you should take note that participants who did not receive apple cider vinegar only lost like 5 pounds over 12 weeks. And again, the participants are still eating a diet with fewer calories. So they are consuming the apple cider vinegar, and the group that consumed it lost more weight than the group that didn't. But still, both groups are on a diet, so you should consider that. They're not just saying they ate their normal diet and just had apple cider vinegar. They are adjusting the food that they're taking in. In this study, researchers also found that apple cider vinegar decreased cholesterol levels. So in general, apple cider vinegar may have a modest effect on weight loss. But again, don't like get rid of your gym membership or something. You know, like you should still be living a healthy lifestyle. And again, this was like a calorie restricted diet. So you should be aware of that. And the participants in the study did exercise regularly. So that is also something that you should be aware of as well. Researchers argued that apple cider vinegar affects weight by lowering one's appetite. So I would say, I don't know, I'm not going to say like this myth is busted, but it does sound like it can help. It can be part of a healthy diet. If you are consuming apple cider vinegar in these small doses, like 2 tablespoons, that's not necessarily going to hurt you. Again, as I said before, unless you have like kidney disease, but it can help. It can be like something that you add on to your routine if you're looking to lose weight. I have tried consuming apple cider vinegar, like with some juices, just like because I had heard so much about it, I wanted to see. And let me just say, it did cleanse my body very quickly. I put it into a juice. It was mixed with like water and like some honey and chia seeds and like lemon, which is a drink that I will normally make. But I added apple cider vinegar to it. And yeah, I would just say that liquid really just went through my body very quickly. And they also said in the research that it affects weight by lowering one's appetite. I'm not really sure if that's just like you just think vinegar tastes gross and then you don't want to consume anything else. But I thought that was interesting. And it does seem that it can have a modest effect. So that is, you know, if you're interested in that, could be helpful. Another myth that I've heard about is that apple cider vinegar will cure cancer, which is, that's like a crazy outlandish thing. But I'm sure other people have said that it won't. So I don't know, conflicting evidence there. A few studies show that vinegar may have anti-cancer properties, but most of these studies involved culturing cancer cells and then exposing them to vinegar or acetic acid. As I said earlier, acetic acid is in vinegar. It's what gives it that sour, acidic taste and smell. The limitation of these studies is pretty obvious. Like you can't just pour apple cider vinegar on cancers inside of, you know, people's bodies. And you can't like, you know, you can't just like give like a IV infusion of apple cider vinegar. You know, that would cause serious harm or maybe even death. But a large population study from China found that lower rates of esophageal cancer in people who frequently consumed vinegar. So there is like correlation, it seems. It's worth noting that the people in this study were probably consuming rice vinegar, not apple cider vinegar, but they did find correlation between consuming vinegar and lower rates of this type of cancer in their bodies. So I would say that's interesting. I wouldn't say that like proves it for sure. And I feel like the website that I read this off of, the Chicago University, they agreed with my sentiment. Apple cider vinegar is not going to cure cancer. You know, we all wish it was as easy as just to say that someone could drink vinegar and their cancer would go away, but that's not true. You know, things aren't that easy. If you are concerned about your risk specifically of esophageal cancer, you shouldn't smoke and you shouldn't drink a lot of alcohol. Talk to your doctor if you might have, like, apparently chronic heartburn could be a connection to this type of cancer. You may need a screening for this. But again, I would say this is more correlation than causation, in my opinion. There could just be connections between apple cider vinegar consumption and lower rates of this specific type of cancer. Overall, apple cider vinegar is safe. Everything has a possible downside. Like if you're, you know, don't just start like guzzling apple cider vinegar. There could be a few negative possibilities because there is acid in this vinegar. It can erode your teeth enamel. So if you're going to drink apple cider vinegar, you probably want to drink water after the vinegar, and that will cleanse it from your mouth, so it's not going to erode the enamel on your teeth. Also, acidic foods or liquids like vinegar can exacerbate acid reflux. So if you have that, you might want to consider that vinegar might not be the best thing for your body. It might make you feel uncomfortable. Also, if you have chronic kidney disease, your kidneys may not be able to process the excess acid, which I mentioned before. So if you're just drinking apple cider vinegar, your kidneys might not be able to take it if they're already weak. Also, apple cider vinegar doesn't replace a healthy lifestyle. It can have benefits if you add it to an already existing good, healthy lifestyle of, you know, a good diet and exercise. And there can be benefits to your body, but, you know, it's not like a magic cure-all. Also, I would say there probably need to be more studies to understand the health benefits and possible side effects with apple cider vinegar. It's not a magic pill, and, you know, people haven't done large, copious amounts of studies. But I would say there is some proof from these studies that it can be helpful along with your diet. I would definitely say it's not dangerous, so that's good to know. If you like the taste of it, you can go and you can put it in other things. Also, I do know that there are some brands that like say that their vinegar has some of the mother in it. And if you can check that in your bottle, you should be able to see some of the mother in it. Again, the mother is like the bacteria and yeast that has probiotics in it. It can be like little strands floating in your vinegar. Or if you look at the bottom of the bottle, there will be like sediment at the bottom. And that's typically remnants from the mother. And if you're looking really for all of the health benefits, you might want to consider that. If you're just buying like a regular filtered apple cider vinegar, like from your grocery store, you probably won't see that type of sediment in it. And so it probably doesn't have remnants of the mother in it. Again, if you want all of the benefits of apple cider vinegar, you probably want some with the mother. I know like Bragg's does, they're a really famous brand for apple cider vinegar, and they usually say to shake it a little bit, so when you pour it out, you get some of the mother in all of your pores and all of your uses with it. So I would definitely say that's very interesting. I probably will not be making apple cider vinegar a huge part of my, you know, healthy lifestyle choices, but I might work it in occasionally. I also like the taste of vinegar on my salads, so I will probably be continuing to put that in my vinaigrettes when I eat salad, which I think is a good taste. I enjoy it. Also, the next topic that we will be talking about are some of the health benefits of tea. I love tea. I'm like kind of obsessed, so I'm pretty excited. I also enjoyed reading about this, which I will mention more about when we go into that topic. But before we go into tea, we're going to take a break. And before we go on to our break, I want to mention again this wonderful deal that we have going on with Audible. I'm sure there are many people out there who like to read but maybe don't have the time. And if you're looking for a way to get in to other books to learn more information besides podcasts, you will probably like Audible to be able to listen to audiobooks on the go. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. You can go to audible.com/GSMCHealth or text GSMCHealth to 500-500. Again, that is audible.com/GSMCHealth or text GSMCHealth to 500-500. This is a great deal, and I hope you all can get an opportunity to take part in it if you'd like. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. To finish up our show, I'm going to be talking about some of the health benefits of tea. I love tea, as I mentioned before the break. I'm sort of like tea obsessed. Like, we just celebrated Christmas and I got two really cool teapots for Christmas. I will be having a tea party actually later today. I am so excited about tea. And even when I was applying to college, I applied for a scholarship and I had to do a presentation and I made a presentation about tea. And that is like how long my love affair with tea is. So I was very excited to look into this. This particular information I got from the Harvard Medical School. They wrote a pretty good article about tea. And really, there is a lot of information about tea, like white tea, black tea, green tea, so many things that you could know about it. This particular article talked a lot about the benefits of green tea, especially, more so than like black tea or white tea. But in general, I would say tea is good for you. One of the health-promoting substances in tea, like the main one, are polyphenols. We mentioned polyphenols earlier when we were talking about vinegar. They are plant-based antioxidants. And in particular, catechins and epicatechins, which are types of polyphenols, and lab and animal studies have shown that these molecules have an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties. There were some Harvard-led studies of large groups of people over time, and they have found that drinking tea or coffee, like general people who regularly drink tea and coffee, are at lower risks of diabetes and possibly cardiovascular disease. They mention coffee because coffee also contains polyphenols. I'll mention coffee a little bit right at the end. But green tea, as I mentioned before, is specifically good for these things. And one of the reasons why teas are good is because the fermentation process used to make green tea boosts levels of polyphenols in the tea. And black and red teas have these too, just in lesser amounts. And the types are less strongly linked to improved health. So, what do polyphenols do? So for one thing, polyphenols are antioxidants. And antioxidants latch onto and neutralize chemicals called oxidants, which cells make as they go about just their normal life cycle. Elevated levels of oxidants can cause harm. For example, they can attack like artery walls and can contribute to cardiovascular disease. The catch in some of these studies of antioxidants in like humans as opposed to experiments on rodents and other things in test tubes is that the effect has not been substantiated. So it's kind of like they have seen it be helpful in humans, like in this large study that they found, general correlation, again, with groups of people who regularly drank it. But some of the experiments in rodents and in just things in test tubes have been a little different. It sounds like they're saying they've been more successful in like rodents and test tubes than necessarily like in humans, and that they can't necessarily prove all of the tests with humans that they have been able to with like lab rats. Some of the best circumstantial evidence on tea and health has come from large long-term studies done by doctors and nurses. There were studies of doctors and nurses based at the Harvard School of Public Health. And this was the female nurses health study and the male health professionals follow-up study. They followed these groups for long periods of time, and researchers determined that tea drinkers are less likely over time to develop diabetes compared with people who drink less tea. That does make sense in light of research showing that polyphenols can help regulate blood sugar and glucose. And as glucose rises in the blood, insulin will shoot out from your pancreas to signal the cells to start metabolizing the glucose. Polyphenols seem to assist in this process, and it makes cells more sensitive to insulin's effects, which is like pretty cool. Also, it remains unclear whether the tea itself is the cause of these benefits, and if so, how it really works, this like magic. Also, studies attempt to rule out the possibility that tea drinkers just live healthier lives, but it's difficult to tell. It could be that people who drink tea maybe work out more or something. It's hard to prove that that's not playing a part in this type of long-term study. Also, if there are other things like tea, it has like a lot of caffeine if you like drink it a lot. So there could be some downsides if you're trying to work tea more into your diet because you want the health benefits of it. If you drink too much, again, it can just make you really caffeinated and make you jittery. So that's something to be aware of. But if you drink it in the right amounts, not overdo it, it can fit into a healthy lifestyle. Also on a note, a cup of tea contains only a few calories, but processed like sugar sweetened tea and other beverages have a lot of extra calories because of the sugar. So like the health benefits of green tea could be completely offset by adding a bunch of sugar. Green tea can have a bit of a bitter taste, and so a lot of times people like to make it sweetened, and that can really just take away all the good benefits of it. So you should kind of avoid really sugary tea things like chai lattes or like sweetened iced teas. Also, I had mentioned the study coffee. They found that, again, the participants were tea and coffee drinkers. So yes, coffee does have good parts to it as well. Coffee contains a complex mix of chemicals with like known biological effects. As with tea, there are antioxidant and anti-inflammatory substances called polyphenols that may account for coffee's like health benefits. Also, animal studies suggest that polyphenol chlorogenic acid, which is abundant in coffee, can reduce the risk of diabetes. Also, recent research pooled 36 studies involving over 1.2 million people and found that people who drank 3 to 5 cups of coffee per day had the lowest risk of heart attacks and strokes. Granted, that's 3 to 5 cups. That is a lot of cups of coffee. I mean, if you don't want to get the jitters, I don't know if I would suggest drinking 5 cups of coffee, though. But those are interesting studies. Again, as I said before, I love tea, and I think that it has some great benefits, even if it's just keeping you awake with the caffeine. But I think it's great, and thank you all so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope that you can work some tea or maybe even some vinegar into your healthy lifestyles.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.